I'm Avi Golhar, and does this rag smell like chloroform to you?
Welcome to Real Estate Deal Talk, the voice of real estate investing. We're here every day to help you get answers to your questions about achieving a better investing mindset, finding markets and deals, evaluating opportunities, structuring smart capital, and positioning the right exit strategy for your deal. It doesn't matter if you're a brand new investor or an investor that's done hundreds of deals. We're here to help you take your real estate business to the next level.
Deal Talk Nation, it's Avi with a lot of fun people here very lately and a good source of information for you here today. We are talking about capital for your real estate deals, and this applies to you, the wholesaler, you, the flipper, you, the rental acquirer. That's what I'm going to call you, rental acquirer. I'm sure there's a better word, but we'll stick with rental acquirer. And, you know, what's interesting is folks will come up to me and say, hey, Avi, you know, how do you finance all this stuff? You know, you find the deals and you're building your team and you figure stuff out. What calls do you make? How do you get in touch with the right people? Where do you find the right people? How do you know they're the right people? What are other investors doing from a capital standpoint that's working for them? What's working for you? What's not working for them? What's not working for you? And really, as the markets have been hot right now, we need to be really aware of what lending options are available that we can use so we can take advantage of the types of deals that we're doing. So to give you an example, I love doing my flip deals. I love flipping in Atlanta, Charlotte, St. Louis, and we're looking into Florida as well. Love that. It makes sense. But I will say that we have to be careful with our lender selection and our choices because not every lender is the same. Everybody has different criteria. Everybody has different ideas of what works for them, what doesn't work for them, different timelines. And the last thing that you want to do is work with an unqualified lender that can potentially screw up a deal. And I'm bringing a very, very knowledgeable guest of mine. His name is Jason Ballin from Hard Money Bankers. And he is a very astute individual from a multitude of different angles. He works with investors in the Northeast, and we will be picking his brain about his perspective on what's been working for investors and what's not been working for investors. So that's coming up, and he's already with me. And what's unique about that perspective is when you're doing these deals, you really gotta churn the numbers. There is a massive difference between just being off a couple of percentage points. You know, we think, oh, you know, yeah, we can borrow at say 14, 15, 16% or 12% or 10%, pay say 2 points to close, 2 points in closing costs, excuse me, or 4 points, 5 points, 6 points in closing costs. I hope you're not paying 5 or 6 points in closing costs. That's a little too much, but you have to look at the numbers. And if you're not looking at the numbers, you're screwing up your deal. So do not screw up your deal. Just you know, do me a favor and don't do that. And I know throughout the show today, you will have questions. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to get in touch and ask the questions. And you can do that in one of two ways. One, you can shoot me a text, but if you're driving, don't reach for your phone. It's not cool. It's illegal to text and drive. Don't do it. Shame on you. But if you're in a place where you're not driving and you can text, text me at 678-902-2066. Again, 678-902-2066. Also, check out realestatedealtalk.com. It has a lot of information that's curated by me for you, the new and burgeoning real estate investor, or if you're a pro and you want to just grow and just crush your competition and push your business forward and leap and make that leap to another level. That's what I'm committed to helping you do. So without any further ado, Jason, are you with me?
I am. Hey, Avi, how are you?
Hey, good, man. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. I'm excited because a lot of the time there's so much talk about the rosy side of real estate. And I want to get into the nitty-gritty of here's what's working, but here's what's not working. You know, because it's easy, right? It's easy to stay up until 2 o'clock in the morning, watch some program that's going to sell you on some expensive, you know, VIP course in whatever, somewhere in California, wherever it might be. And it's going to teach you everything you need to know about real estate. And it's also going to teach you how to make a whole lot of money. But there are a lot of things that you need to be aware of. And capital is one of them. And you are a pro. And I cannot wait to pick your brain.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So in theory, real estate is very easy, right?
Yeah.
In theory, you follow this kind of rosy road of, hey, if I flip this property based on what I'm buying it for, based on what my construction costs are, based on what I'm going to sell it for, I'm going to make whatever, X, $30,000, whatever that number is.
Yeah.
But in reality, things change. And and the goal is to educate, help, learn as much as you can to try to turn theory into reality. So whatever your projected numbers are on the front end end up being those exact numbers on the back end. And, you know, that's tricky and it takes time and it takes experience, but, you know, but it's doable. And I believe that a capital partner and a capital source is extremely important, no matter what you're doing in real estate. If it's, you know, flipping properties, buying rental properties, whatever the case is, you need a, you know, some capital and some money partners. And, you know, to chime in a little bit of what you were talking about earlier, I believe that there is a time and a place for pretty much every types of capital. If it's
yes.
a hard money lender, a private lender, a bank, you know, a partner doing a joint venture with somebody, there's a time and a place for every type of capital source. And, you know, it depends on the deal. It depends how quickly you need the money. Depends on what, you know, how steep of a discount you purchased it in. You know, it depends on what resources you have available. If you have, you know, if you have good credit and you have a lot of assets that you could go to a bank and get cheaper terms. So there's pros and cons of all these different capital sources. And I believe that there's a time and place, you know, for each one, for everybody.
I completely agree. And like you, I cannot wait to even start talking about the pros and cons of different types of capital sources, because you're absolutely right. And if you're just starting out and let's say you have a mentor, then you're probably not going to make as much money as you want, because you might not be bringing as much as, say, your equity partner, and you, let's say you add in a lending component to that on the debt side, then, you know, your profit's going to be pretty minimal. On alternatively, you can have a great relationship with a community bank. They'll offer you, say, you know, 4% interest on your construction financing. And you've had that relationship for 20 years, and now you're able to make money and pay a little bit more, not a whole lot more, but pay a little bit more on the acquisition side. So now you're starting to win deals because your cost of capital is so cheap, and you also have a good, solid team and operations and processes in place to take advantage of those deals. So I'm super excited to just jump in and have this conversation with you, bud. So let's start from the beginning. If I'm looking for, let's say I'm a new guy or gal to real estate, or even if I'm a pro, how do I look for the right capital partners? What are some of the first things that I need to do in my mind and then take action on to find the right money?
Sure. Good. Okay. So this is, first you need to do an assessment of yourself and figure out what types of resources you have available. And what I mean by resources is, how is your credit? Because if your credit's on the lower side, for the most part, most banks are just out, which is okay.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different, all of these things, you don't need all of these. You just need to kind of be true to yourself and determine what. So you want to look at your credit score or know what your credit is. You want to know kind of how many assets you have working with and what your bank account looks like, how much money you want to put into an individual transaction. The deal itself, you know, do you need hand holding on the deal, or do you have all of that, you know, under control?
Yeah.
Do you have the ability to, you know, make monthly payments if you get a loan from somebody? So there's a lot of different things that you really need to understand kind of on the front end. And usually, like, for instance, of some pros and cons. A bank, for instance, a bank's going to have cheap money. That's the pro. Is there, you're going to get the cheapest capital out there if you go to any sort of bank.
Yeah.
You know, cons are typically that you're going to need a decent down payment. And I know that changes based on your relationship that you have with them or what programs they have at any given time. But, you know, a lot of the cases are they're going to require a bigger down payment than maybe a hard money lender would or a joint venture partner would or something else. You're going to have to make monthly payments. They most likely want to collateralize whatever they get their hands on.
Everything and anything, right.
And the biggest con for residential real estate investors is the time it takes to get approved for that type of loan.
That's right.
And, you know, if you have 45 days, 30 days, 45 days to, you know, with a direct seller or bank-owned property and you're not in a huge rush, that may be a good option. If you have good credit, you have some cash reserves, you have a decent, you know, tax returns, because they're going to require you to look at tax returns. And as entrepreneurs and business owners, a lot of tax returns, the way that, you know, we follow them don't match up exactly how, you know, a bank wants to see them.
It's funny. That's exactly, you're 100% dead on, man. I mean, you know, if I walk into a community bank, they'll say, hey, you know, I'm self-employed. So unless I have a history with that bank, it's going to take a little bit of time to establish that relationship and then hit go so I can get the cheaper rate. So you're 110% right on. So after the break, we will be talking really in the nitty-gritty about this lending stuff. I know we're covering some surface-level stuff right now, but we'll be right back. Do not go anywhere. We have a lot more coming up. Deal Talk Nation.
We'll be right back on Real Estate Deal Talk. You've been listening to Real Estate Deal Talk.
Deal Talk Nation, we're back. I'm your host, Avi Golhar, and my guest today is Jason Ballin from Hard Money Bankers, and he is just crushing it in his corner of the United States in the Northeast, and he is shedding some light on what it means to be looking for and have the right capital. Just before the break, we were talking about the pros and cons of your traditional bank financing, and I want to keep talking about that because I feel it's really important. So, Jason, let's say I have a credit score of 710, right? Credit score 710. Yep. I've maybe flipped one deal and I just started investing in real estate. How likely is it that a XYZ community bank will serve me up on a silver platter with a nice, easy interest rate with a quick closing? And I'm baiting the question, but you know where I'm going with that.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, the interest rate was accurate. You get a good interest rate, but you know, the rest of it makes it a little bit more difficult. And, you know, a lot of the loans that we actually do, which are hard money loans to our borrowers, it just ends up that a lot of the borrowers could be bankable. But besides the interest rate, there's just a lot of reasons why they just don't want to go that route. And it's mostly just the time. You know, it's the red tape. They don't want to deal with the headaches of it. They don't want to deal with, you know, they have deals that they're either buying auction steps from online auctions directly from distressed sellers that need money quickly. They need, the deal needs to move along. Yes. They don't have the time to wait for a bank to do appraisals and look at their financials. It's just an easier transaction, and they're willing to spend a little bit more money for the money just to not have to kind of go that route, even though they could go that route if they had the time to do so.
Yes, and the word that you said, the key word there is velocity, right? Because in the real estate world, velocity is so, so important. If you're closing 45 days out, the likelihood in a seller's market that you're going to get that deal when somebody else like me will pay cash in 5 days, you're not getting the deal.
And you know what, if you're getting the right deal, the cost of capital, it's not irrelevant, but you calculate into your numbers, and maybe the creative structure is, you know, seller, I can pay $95,000 if you want me to settle in this week, or I can pay $100 and, you know, a little bit more if you know, we have longer time. Because, you know, it's gonna cost me more money if I got to go a higher rate route, but I but I can close immediately, or it'll cost me a little less money if I go to bankrupt, but it's going to take, you know, 45, 60 days for us to settle.
Yep.
Completely. So it's good to have options. And I think that's sums up a lot of what we're talking about.
Yes, completely agree. And a lot of the development deals that I'll do, whether it's single family residential, where we're buying an infill lot or we're buying, say, a one lot, subdividing it into two, sometimes we need a little bit of time on that. You know, sometimes we need that 45, 60 days to see what the city can do and what they'll say about, hey, you know, okay, is it okay to subdivide? Yes or no? And in that case, we're okay, like you said, with paying a little bit more, but we're saving money because we buy the land for a little bit more. But guess what happens when you subdivide it into two lots? That cost is split in half. So if we're spending $100,000 instead of the $80,000 to buy it now, great, because I know then that I can subdivide, split in half. Now my cost for each lot is $50,000 and my profit margin then starts to increase. So when we're taking a look at now the investors coming to you, and if I'm a new guy in real estate, I'm saying, Jason, hey, you know, tell me a little bit about what you're doing, what programs you offer, how can I make a deal super sweet for you? So you'll say, you know what, check, 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 check. Yes, here's money. What do I need to do, not only for you, but other lenders out there, what do I need to do to make it an easy process for you? What do I need to have ready?
Sure. So, you know, the hard money term, hard money lending, if you've heard that term before, there's a lot of us throughout the country. You know, our office is, we have two offices. One's halfway between Washington, D.C. and Baltimore, Maryland. The other one's in the Philadelphia area. And there's probably a few hard money lenders similar to our size, you know, a lot of different states. So it doesn't matter where you are, there's always kind of a hard money lender. And we're full-time lenders, and our primary, and all of us are full-time lenders, and our primary goal and job is to lend you money so you could buy real estate, short-term real estate, either fix and flips or acquire and renovate a rental property, you know, as long as you have the ability to, you know, do a long-term takeout, which we can get to. And, you know, the way we look at these deals is pretty simple. The number one thing, we follow what we call the four C's, but the number one is collateral.
Yep, give us the one C. We got about 15 seconds.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, it's four C's: collateral, character, capacity, and credit. And we can kind of break those down.
No, absolutely. And I think the first one I cannot wait to touch on, because I love where we can take real estate and we can use it, manipulate it in such a way where we get more out of it. And so collateral, you're specifically talking about the after repair value of the home.
Correct.
Awesome. And so that's generally determined by some type of appraisal, comps, something like this, then that you're able to maneuver with and say you feel comfortable one way or the other.
That's correct.
Awesome. No, that I like it. And that is when lenders are specifically lending based on asset only, then that makes my job so much easier. Folks, you're listening to Real Estate Deal Talk. Jason is just a brainstorm of information. And we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Seriously, after the break, a lot more coming up.
We'll be right back on Real Estate Deal Talk. You've been listening to Real Estate Deal Talk.
Deal Talk Nation, we're back. I'm your host, Avi Golhar. So, for me, I know that if I'm listening to a lot of this, I'm going to have questions and I need answers and I need the best place to go to ask questions and to have them answered. So there are two ways to get in touch with me, and please get in touch with me. I really want you to do that. That number is 678-902-2066. And you can also go to my website, realestatedealtalk.com. So Jason, before the break, we had talked about the four C's. The first C is collateral. Talk to me about collateral.
Okay, so collateral on anyone's end, typically, you know, you look at what the value of the asset is today, as well as what the value of the asset or the property that you're going to be owning is when you're completed with it. And a big kind of thing that's constantly going on in real estate that drives me a little bit crazy, but I think it's really important for a lot of investors to understand, especially investors that are flipping houses, is you need to determine what that after repair value is, but you also need it to be based on how well you're going to execute. Because a property that I flip and a property that Abby flips and a property that somebody else flips, we're all, for the most part, going to sell it for a different price. And yes, it's going to be in range. If it's a median housing price in a certain area, there's usually a range. But at the same time, it depends on what improvements you're doing. Depends on how quickly you want to sell the property for. There's a lot of unknowns. And one thing that we see on a regular basis is a newer real estate investor that goes and, let's just say, they feel they're going to resell the property for $225,000. And they go in, they say, yep, I'm going to sell for $225,000. These are the comps that I'm using. And I look back and say, listen, no offense, but you haven't done a deal yet. And I'm not saying that you can't sell this property for $225,000 or it's not worth $225,000.
Right.
But you're comparing it to the highest comps with guys that flip 100 properties every year that have been in this industry a long time. They know exactly what appliance package, granite type, floor plans, everything exact. They know exactly what to do to sell for this premium. So chances are yours is going to be a little bit lower. So kind of to sum that up, it's based on how you're going to execute personally is going to determine what the true after repair value is. And as a lender, we look into that as well. And sometimes we lend a little bit higher for experienced renovators who know those areas compared to somebody who's might not.
Now, it's interesting because you said everything that was on my mind, and it makes it's funny to me because the ARV in an area let's take an average XYZ community. In an XYZ community, you can sell a home in 30 days for, say, $250,000. Now, like you said, the experienced builders, developers, rehabbers, they'll hit that mark every single time because they know what to do. They know the finishings. They know the flow of the house, bedrooms, bathrooms, the nice things in the home to really make it pop and stand out. If you're a first-time flipper, are you going to be selling at that? Not necessarily. Not if you don't have your team down packed. Not if you don't have all of your research done beforehand about exactly what you need to put in the property to force that value to reach that ARV, that after repair value that you need it to. And like you said, a lot of this also then comes down to that line item of a budget. If you're not paying attention to your budget, if you're over budget, under budget, and if you're not putting in the right type of things in your house to make it pop, it's going to stay in the market and it's going to screw up your days on market. Now you're going to be owing Jason interest on a monthly basis, and then he's not happy, and the likelihood of him lending you money on your next deal is probably less than 1%.
and you're not, when they're, the borrower or the real estate investor is not going to be happy either, because it's eating up too much profit. We're in a good market right now and there's opportunities. Properties are selling for a premium. A lot of time, the market's saving a lot of people. But what I mean by that is properties are selling for higher than the expectation was when they purchased them 6 months ago. But at the same time, if you're paying hard money interest rates, which are maybe a percentage a month, which is 12% annualized or 13% annualized, 40%, it really doesn't matter. If you're holding these properties for a lot longer than you're expecting to, it is going to eat up your profit margins. And one of the things that we talk about a lot is helping them analyze their deals, and not just on the front end, but also analyze on the back end of what the ARV is going to be, how they're going to execute, and what my opinion versus your opinion can be different versus appraiser's opinion versus a real estate agent's opinion. So
that's right.
What we usually tell people is take all of these things as data points, go on MLS, find comps, use all of that and voice your own opinion. You're the expert. Don't ask your real estate agent what they think you're going to sell for. I mean, you should do that to voice your opinion, but you ask a lot of people and then you base your opinion and you determine what you believe you will sell that property for based off of how well you'll execute.
Gold. That's we're dropping the mic on this. That's gold. Deal Talk Nation, there's a lot more of this coming up after the break. We're talking about the rest of the four C's. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial.
We'll be right back on Real Estate Deal Talk. listening to Real Estate Deal Talk.
Deal Talk Nation, we're back. I'm Abhi with Jason from Hard Money Bankers. Listen, guys and gals out there, before the break, we were just going back and forth on doing it right. And listen up. What Jason said earlier made a whole lot of sense. If you're not trusting yourself and you're only listening to the opinions of others and you don't form your own opinion based on what they are saying, and then also if you're not kind of pushing on them and saying, you know what? What do you think about this instead or that instead? If you're allowing them just to be yes men or yes women, then here's what's going to happen. You're going to end up with, say you go on a buying spree, and you go on a buying spree and you're buying $200,000 properties all in. That's your all-in cost. That's the loan amount. And you're paying 10% a year. And you're listening to everybody. You're not really criticizing what can be done better. What will happen is you'll get to a point where, sure, you might finish the project, but you know what? That project might not sell. And here's what it looks like. If you're in 10 of these types of projects at $1,700 a month, or even if it's $1,500 a month in interest carry, just because that's, you know, if you're taking 10%, I mean, that's on $150,000 all in, $200,000 all in, it's going to be a lot more than this, but you're spending $15,000 a month in just interest carry that you're paying Jason because you couldn't get your crap together. So don't make these mistakes. Understand the lay of the land. Get in front of your agent. Say, I need to make sure this property sells. How do I make sure this property sells if you are looking to flip it? And then ask another agent the exact same question about the exact same property. Get a couple of different opinions, then form your own opinion and continue to test that. And will that take some time initially? Yes, it's okay. Will you have to pass up on good deals initially? Yes, and that's fine. I'm saying it's fine to pass up on a good deal, especially if it's your first time and especially if you're learning from it, because now you know what to do next. And that's how you build that experience level. And it also gives you the time not only to learn, but also to find other people in your market that are crushing it so you can shadow them and you can just pay attention and rock and roll from there. So let's talk about that second C there, Jason, the character.
Character. Okay, so character, and what I mean by that is who you are as a person. And think about it. Like, let's say you're the type of person that somebody calls and then you never call them back, or they have questions on things and you don't respond. Imagine how you would feel if you needed help with something and you called somebody. Let's say you called me as a lender and you needed money and I didn't respond to you for 2 days. Chances are you would probably just go and and find another lender to do it. So the way we look at it is, if you know, we have good communication and we're a team. You know, the money, the deals, we're all teammates, right? We're all together. So the way we look at it is, if we can't communicate with a borrower on the front end, what's going to happen on the back end if they miss a payment and we can't get a hold of them, right? It shows a lot about them, kind of who they are. So, you know, you as a real estate investor probably want to meet your capital lenders or your hard money lenders, just like us as a lender want to meet you as a borrower. We're teammates, and the deal either goes great or doesn't go great. And it's important to meet that person. We're big advocates of getting money lent to you or getting money from investors that are in your current market that know the area, just like you do. So if there's an issue, you can work things out. A lot of conflict can always be overcome with proper communication. So that kind of sums up, character, which is the second most important in the four C's.
That's right. And what's interesting is real estate is a contact sport, and it's not a sport that's played by just one person. So if in a best case scenario, everything goes right, then great. But the likelihood of that happening all the time, 100% of the time, is very small. So making sure that everybody is aware of what's going on is really important. And I mean, heck, if I call you Jason, I'm like, Jason, man, listen, I'm kind of struggling with this flip. I don't really know what to do. I've hit this wall. Can you maybe point me in the right direction? And generally speaking, I'm sure you have resources that I could call on to say, yeah, of course, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, just, absolutely.
And it just makes sense because now you're vested in the property, clearly, and so am I because I brought skin to the game, which is what I want to talk about after the break and why skin to the game is so important, because I know there are folks and investors that are always looking for 100% financing, and, well, you know how that goes. But the contact sport piece of real estate is vital. You have to have the right team, making sure that your capital partner is part of that team and understands real estate too. Just don't find a capital partner that is passively investing. Make sure that a capital partner has also actively invested is something that I like to make sure of as well. Deal Talk Nation, we're going to go pay some bills, keep the lights on, and yeah, stay tuned.
We'll be right back on Real Estate Deal Talk. You've been listening to Real Estate Deal Talk.
Deal Talk Nation, you are back. And I like that you're back. It makes me all warm and fuzzy inside. I'm Abhi Golhar, your host, and I have Jason Balin from HardMoneyBankers.com. Make sure that you go to HardMoneyBankers.com if you're in the Northeast, and I'm sure they have connections anywhere else in the country because I know Jason, he's a really, really resourceful guy. So get in touch with them and make sure that your questions are answered. But if you have questions for me, feel free to get in touch with me too. I like making myself absurdly available. Actually, it's kind of crazy at some points in time. You can text me 678-902-2066. And guess what? I'm on social as well. Hit me up on Twitter, Periscope, Snapchat, LinkedIn, Facebook. What am I missing? I'm sure I'm missing something. Snapchat? I think I said Snapchat. Or just go to realestatedealtalk.com. It's my home. It's my hub. It's where I live. Jason, let's finish out the four C's and talk to me about capacity and credit and why that matters.
Sure. Capacity, pretty simple. Do you have the ability to make a monthly payment? Do you have a clear exit strategy and a path of how you plan to repay a loan? Most hard money lenders are short-term lenders. They give you the ability to come in, utilize their capital to acquire a rental, acquire a fix and flip, but they do want you to pay it off as soon as possible. So that's capacity, and then credit is the number four of the four C's. It's the least important, but it does obviously tell a story.
Yeah.
And as any type of lender, what makes me think you're going to make a payment if you don't make a payment to anybody else? That being said, right. We've done loans for all, anybody at all different credit scores, but it does tell a story.
Gotcha. So if I have a credit score in the 500s, if you like the deal and the asset is good and you have and everything, say, from the deal standpoint makes sense, you're partnered with the right people, I may not necessarily have to have the best credit, but if I have a proven track record of deals, then my interest rate will be a little bit higher, but I'm sure you can still get the deal done.
100% accurate.
Gotcha. Yep.
If you have a good enough deal, you always make it. There's always a way to make it work. Worst case scenario, maybe the LTV gets reduced a little bit, so you have a little bit more cash or skin in the game. But there's always a way to make that deal work with us.
Perfect. And then let's say I'm a new investor and I have stellar credit, but I have no experience. Am I also paying the same? I mean, to me, it would make sense, right? I would have to pay a higher interest rate, or will my interest rate decrease because I simply on the credit score alone?
Our interest rates tend to be the same. We don't really, our risk is not differentiated by credit score, it's differentiated by our loan to value. So the interest rates stay the same. But if you're a new investor and it looks like it's a project you have the ability to tackle, and we will obviously do it.
Awesome. Well, that makes sense. I like that. That's super easy. Super, super easy. So why is it also then important for borrowers to have skin in the game? Because, you review, I don't know how many deals you review every day, probably hundreds on the weekly, I'm sure. And I'm also...
Thousand a month.
Exactly. That's more than 100 a week. So how do you... Obviously, you're going to have investors that say, hey, Jason, can we go ahead and do a 100% financing deal? I have this great deal. It's awesome. It's fantastic. Can you just sign off on giving me 100% financing and rolling everything into the loan? Why are lenders not doing that?
Sure. Sure. So on the lender's end, we want you to have skin in the game. So you have a vested interest besides just sweat equity into the deal. And, you know, you have the ability that you have real money to lose in the transaction if you just walk away from it and not just that sweat equity. That shows a lot about, you know, you as a person, and knowing that, you know, you are willing to put your money where your mouth is, and you're very vested in that project with the money. That being said, on the other side, I also am a huge advocate of putting, I'm an advocate of leveraging up into deals, but I also am big on even myself putting money into all my own deals.
Yes.
Just to make sure my equity position is at the right spot, even if I buy it at a really good price, because, you know, there's market cycles. They go up and they go down, and you want that ability, if you're in a slower market, to be at a good equity position. So if you, God forbid, you had to unload it lower than you wanted to,
yeah,
you have that ability.
I like it. And what's interesting too is, if we, you know, in a market cycle that we're in now, it makes sense to be flipping, and it makes sense to be serving up just flip deal after flip deal after flip deal after flip deal. It makes, that to me is awesome. But as a flipper, I also want to make sure that, hey, you know what? When the market starts to tank a little bit, when it starts to have that little slight correction, I can also survive and potentially buy more because of the capital partners that I have. And I've always been a big advocate of flip, 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 hold, flip, 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 hold, flip, 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 hold. So you're reinvesting a little bit of those flip profits back into your flip business, but also then taking some of those profits and diversifying into rentals. And I know you mentioned that you have a program where I can rehab and then rent. Tell me a little bit about that, because it's such an important strategy for new investors and pro investors that are just always flipping to use, because you need to make sure that you can survive a market crash. And folks, if you have questions about all this stuff, get in touch. 678-902-2066 is the number, 678-902-2066. I know that's a lot of numbers, so this might be easier. Check out realestatedealtalk.com. Again, realestatedealtalk.com, and ask away. So Jason, what do you think about that? Rehab to rental?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I'm big on rentals, because let's be honest, no matter how much money you make on a flip, you're still paying ordinary income taxes on that.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of money. We look at it like this: flipping properties for cash, household bills, your personal stuff, and then buying rental properties.
Makes sense.
Using that excess money to buy rental properties. And then it's a long-term play. They appreciate it. You get good cash flow on them, stuff like that.
That's right. Well, with all of that said, Jason, it's been awesome speaking with you, man. Deal Talk Nation, if you have questions, get in touch. I need to hear from you, and so does Jason. Make sure that you head over to hardmoneybankers.com. And if you have any questions for me, realestatedealtalk.com. Until next time, stay groovy.
Thanks for listening to Real Estate Deal Talk, where we bring you actionable investment strategies in today's market. To discover your next strategy, go to realestatedealtalk.com.